Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from the 11th chapter of St. John, with an emphasis on these words. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This was the sentiment of both Mary and Martha at the arrival of Jesus 4 days after the death of his friend, their brother Lazarus. Is this question familiar to any of you? Lord, if you had been here, where were you, Lord? Where were you at the death of my brother, my parent, my spouse, my friend? Where were you when my hours were chopped, when my salary was cut, when my job was pulled out from under me? Where were you during my divorce, when my family fell apart, and estranged friends would no longer give me the time of day? Where were you when the diagnosis was bleak, when the accident happened? When I was stuck at home, nursing myself back to health with no one to care for me? Where were you during the outbreak of COVID-19? Where were you when it spread across the Atlantic, when it spread into my backyard? Where were you when I was quarantined, when I was isolated, when I was afraid for my health, my career, my savings, my family? Lord, if you had been here, it would not be this way. There's a certain irony to this question when sinful, mortal people try to juxtapose their limitations on a limitless God. Mary and Martha, in their grief, they saw the man Jesus with his ordinary human stature, and they forgot exactly who it was that they were addressing. Certainly, they remembered the great signs and wonders that Jesus was capable of, or they would not have been upset in the first place. They knew that this was the man who made the lame walk. This was the man who made the deaf hear. This was the man who made the blind see. They had heard from his disciples how he had turned water into wine, how he had walked on the surface of the water, and how with a single word he calmed the storm. They remembered, but they did not yet believe in the reality that these signs and wonders revealed. Jesus certainly was Lord among men, but still just a man. His authority, it seemed, had its limits. He could not defy space and time to get to Bethany on time to restore health to the dying Lazarus. And now, death had the final word. Lazarus lay in the tomb 4 days. His body was beginning the unpleasant process of returning to dust, and Jesus was not there. This, it was apparent to Martha and to Mary, was the limit of the Messiah to do the work of God. There was nothing quite so final, they thought, as death, and even the Christ surely must respect its conclusion. Friends, look around yourselves today, and you're likely hearing a lot of conclusions. Thousands will die as the virus spreads. Supplies will run short. Bank accounts will drain, bills will go unpaid, businesses will close, the economy will fold, and the safe and secure lives that we've built for ourselves, they will crumble and fall. These are the conclusions of the talking heads on the news. And surely, even God must respect their conclusion. Much like the death of a loved one, crises like the one we face today make us painfully aware of our own human limitations. And because we are limited, because we are frail and small and finite, we have the tendency to do like Martha and Mary. We have a tendency to try to put those same limitations on our Lord and God. We live like the shifting sands of this world, with all of its sickness and poverty and death, have the very last word. We live as though God is silent in the face of calamity. And when the world around us inevitably gives way, we ask, "Where were you, O Lord?" How quick we are to forget who it is that we are addressing, how eager we are to believe that the life of God's children is an easy one. So much so that we are shocked when we ourselves are visited with misfortune and sickness and death. How often we ignore the call of Jesus to take up our cross and follow him. Friends, I remind you again this Lenten season that you are but dust. You may very well suffer illness. You may very well be faced with poverty, hunger, or loss. No matter what your affliction, each and every one of you will face death. But know this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that your God is not absent in the midst of these things. His ear is not deaf to your pleas for mercy. He does not turn his gaze from you in the hour of your lament. No. Instead, he comes to you with his gracious visitation. His spirit was moved at the sight of your tears, and he wept as you have wept. He suffered as you have suffered, and he died as you will die. There is no limit to the compassion of your Lord. There is no affliction that you face this day with which he is not intimately familiar. Jesus did not wait 4 days to arrive at Lazarus' tomb because he was limited, but because he was limitless. As true man and true God, all time for Jesus is but a mere breath, and even death itself must give him the last word. This was the consolation which he desired for Martha and for Mary. This was the consolation he desires for all who lament and mourn in the face of their mortal limitations, that God is a present help in times of trouble, that the Son of God is glorified in the face of death. This is why he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? This is why he did not say, "I will be the resurrection and the life, and maybe someday, if you believe hard enough, you will rise too." He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And to that end, he showed Martha, Mary, his disciples, and all the mourners gathered at the tomb a taste of the resurrection. Jesus bid the dead man, Lazarus, come out. And out he came. Jesus bids his church today, come out. Come out of the valley of your sorrow and into my house. Come out of your poverty to my table set before you with my very body and blood. Come out of your tomb and into the baptismal waters where I will give you new life in my name. The grace of God is a real and present grace. It is a grace for this day and not some far-off pie-in-the-sky promise. Our God answers calamity in the world with action. When he sees poverty and uncertainty, he is present in his church with hands to serve. When he sees his children's cry for mercy, he is present in his church with ears to hear and with voices to soothe. When death threatens to swallow up his people, he is present in his church with his word of comfort and consolation, a proclamation that even death, with all of its limitations and finality, will be swallowed up in the life that is ours in him. Therefore, take heart, O Christians. Your Lord is with you in suffering, and he bears his mighty arm strong to save, to give you aid in your hour of need. Even now, as the rest of the world retreats for fear of what assails us, the church continues to gather. The church is defiant in the face of sin and death, for these things do not have the last word. That last word belongs to the Lord your God. And that word is this: I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So, do you believe this? Is this word not your anchor in the storm? Is this word not your rock in shifting sands, your fortress in the face of death? If it is not, then I urge you to hear again the voice of your Lord as he calls to you in your uncertainty, come out. Come out of your sorrow. Come out of your poverty. Come out of your death and receive the inheritance which I have prepared for you, the good gifts for your body and for your soul that I offer you in this holy house. Where are you, Lord? You ask. He is right here. He is where he promised you he would be. And he is not going anywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.